Hey, Habs fan, what the heck? Have we really been off the air for 3 weeks?
We have. It's been a long time. It's a lot of stuff has happened. The Olympics are going on. A lot of Canadian pride flowing through these veins.
I love it. Can you believe, especially that Canadian women's curling team? Wow, what a story.
Yeah, they started off 0-3 and they're favored to win the gold medal. Someone gave them a little pep talk, an unexpected phone call to help turn their fortunes around to make them 3-3 currently. And you know who that phone call was from?
I can only guess.
Could you imagine, you know, you and I were talking about this scenario earlier. Could you imagine Mike Babcock using his genius leadership skills to other people in the world?
You know, I'm going to imagine that right now. Hi, this is Elon Musk, major philanthropist and global crusader of all things decent in the world. Speak.
Elon, it's Mike Babcock here. How you been?
Who are you?
I'm a coach in the NHL. I coach the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay, how can I help you?
Listen, Elon, I saw you launched a rocket into space, and it's got a car in it. I just want you to know that you're doing a great job. I think you're a great person, but I think we could ask a little bit more from you. Maybe you can make that rocket go faster and further.
Josh Donaldson, game-breaking MVP and perhaps the best player this franchise and city's ever had, speaking.
Josh, it's Mike Babcock here. How you been?
Hey, Mike Babs, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing well, doing well. Team's doing well. We're on the cusp of the playoffs.
Yeah, my team doesn't want me.
Yeah, I just saw the update on my phone here. I saw that you're going to be heading to free agency. Listen, I know you were a former MVP and you play the third base with gusto, but again, I think you could do more. You're a good person, you're a good human being, you could do more.
Thanks, man. I will do more. I'm Josh Donaldson.
Maybe swing that bat a little bit faster.
Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft and richest man in the world many times over, speaking.
Bill Gates, Mike Babcock here, Toronto Maple Leafs coach.
Yes, how can I help you, and how did you get this number?
Listen, I got a lot of handlers. I got Nas on it, and little Mitchie Marner. He's really good with that computer Xbox stuff.
I think I need to call my secretary.
Listen, Bill, before you go, you're doing some great things. I think you're a great human being. You're a good person. You do good things for the country. And I want you to do more. Maybe, you know, cure some world hunger and more diseases. Can you do that for me?
I only have 3 words to say to you. Go, let's go. There's been rampant speculation as to how much money and term pending free agent James Van Riemsdyk will ask from his team. When pressed about his thoughts on keeping JVR as a depth piece to a future championship club, GM Lou Lamoriello was heard responding, "He is our absolute priority behind Matthews, Nylander, Marner, Riley, Brown, Dermott, Bozak, Kapanen, and erasing all memory of David Clarkson ever being in Toronto."
Left winger Nicolas Deslauriers has been signed to a 2-year, $950,000 per season contract, a contract that's actually getting good reviews as a good signing by Marc Bergevin, especially considering that left winger Nicolas Deslauriers will be the future Montreal Canadiens number one center come 2019.
When William Nylander scored against the Tampa Bay Lightning and was assisted by both Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews earlier this week, it marked the first time all year that three players with an average age of 20, who also happened to be their team's best players, ended up on the same score sheet, which must have really infuriated Mike Babcock since he has a strict policy of never combining his best players together on the ice at the same time.
According to sportsclubstats.com, the Montreal Canadiens currently have a 0.06% chance of making the playoffs. Still a better chance than Donald Trump believing in climate change, and still a better chance than Steven Spielberg rebooting that great film franchise, The Human Centipede.
Frederik Andersen continues to lead the league in saves, and what's especially impressive is that he's now being considered for the Vezina Trophy. Which brings me to a segment of the show I like to call, Let's Listen to Greg Millen and Craig Simpson and Dennis Biak and Paul Romanoff lose their professional composure and end up praising the local netminder as if he walks on water.
That Vegas game on Saturday night, I think Max Pacioretty, Thomas Plekanec, and Antti Niemi did their best to show that they do not want to get traded. Three guys who are most likely to be traded by the trade deadline really, really mailed it in and didn't make themselves attractive to any other teams in the NHL. It's kind of like you're setting up your best friend on a date and he shows up with holes in his shirts, smelling like BO, wearing a Make America Great Again hat, and wearing a Leafs jersey.
The metamorphosis of Nazem Kadri under coach Mike Babcock has been nothing short of spectacular. Fans and media alike are praising his work ethic and two-way play as nothing short of magnificent and a key cog in the Leafs' playoff chances against tough Eastern Conference teams. An anonymous executive was overheard saying, "He's pretty good for a little weasel who still skates and falls like David Clarkson in his prime," which prompted David Clarkson to respond from an unknown location, quote, "I was never that good, but since I was from Toronto, they never really noticed my deficiencies."
Trade deadline around the corner, and Thomas Plekanec is still on the block. And another team has surfaced as a potential destination for Plekanec, and that is the San Jose Sharks. Not sure about you, but I'm not sure if San Jose needs another center who scores about 1 to 2 playoff goals per year. That center is Joe Thornton.
Persistent rumors are circulating out of Phoenix that the Arizona Coyotes are seriously mulling over trading NHL superstar defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson, the young Max Domi, and their next 5 years of first-round draft picks, along with several local telephone companies and a downtown energy conglomerate, in the hopes of landing their prodigal son, Austin Matthews. To which former coach Wayne Gretzky was overheard saying, "Don't they still owe me some money? What am I, sliced bread? And please don't look at the second half of my playing career because it's shockingly mediocre considering I was, for all intents and purposes, considered the greatest player in the history of this game."
And now an update from the What Was Mark Bergevin Thinking department. Alex Hemsky is still on the injured list, and Alex Radulov has 21 goals. Good times. Good times.
With the trade of former Leafs captain Dion Phaneuf to the Los Angeles Kings, the Ottawa Senators have been absolutely blasted in hockey circles for retaining the equivalent salary of what will be the third highest paid defenseman on their team. And with his fourth team in 10 years and his rookie season representing the height of his success, Kings fans now have the dubious distinction of potentially seeing Drew Doughty and Dion Phaneuf skating together on the blue line well into their 30s and completely immune from the usual criticism normally reserved for European or African-American top-tier defensemen.
Lots of talk still for Freddie Andersen to win the Vezina Award, or the Vezina Trophy as it's more commonly known, and even whispers of getting some votes for the Hart Trophy, as he's been said to be the most valuable Toronto Maple Leaf. Let's see, Freddie currently sits 4th in the league in wins, 7th in shutouts, 12th in save percentage, and 25th in goals against average. He sits 25th overall in goals against average. You know what these numbers tell me? These numbers tell me there's a little bit of Toronto stuff going on here. Or, as I like to call it, the Shappy tax. Shappy probably thinks that these numbers are the best numbers he's ever seen in the world for a goalie of all time ever in his life, in the whole universe, ever.
The Ontario Lottery Gaming Corporation is coming under fire from casual players of their Pro Line offering that their nightly games involving the Maple Leafs feature some of the worst odds imaginable and are usually removed from the docket altogether. To make matters worse, their commercials are being played an average of 24 times during a Hockey Night in Canada broadcast, which has led to a significant spike in the number of domestic house calls, nightclub arrests, and several major brawls in Hamilton.
The Montreal Canadiens currently sit with 51 points, and consensus is that it's believed about 95 points will be required to make the playoffs. There's 24 games left. Montreal needs to get 44 of the next 48 points. I think Elizabeth Sweeney, Olympic skier, has a better chance of winning a gold medal than the Montreal Canadiens do of making the playoffs. Haven't seen Elizabeth Sweeney yet, Olympic skier? Do yourself a favor, Google Elizabeth Sweeney, and it will be great. It'll be beautiful. You'll love it. It'll be so great. Why do I sound like Donald Trump?
Rumor has it that Microsoft Xbox and Sony PlayStation are both interested in the rights to have Mitch Marner as their official spokesperson. The deal itself could be worth millions of dollars, and our efforts to get some kind of response from the Marner camp have been met with absolute failure, as apparently he's too busy playing Call of Duty, PUBG, and World of Warcraft.
With trade deadline around the corner, Max Pacioretty has let it be known that he really doesn't like talking about the trade deadline and would rather talk about it when the time comes, if he is not traded. You know, he'd kind of like to just leave it in the corner, let someone else take care of it, not really address it, just kind of be passive about things. Something that is very, very foreign to Max Pacioretty.
In a recent ESPN article ranking all the 31 GMs in the NHL, Lou Lamoriello finished in the top tier as a result of his Stanley Cup success during the 1990s and his contributions to slowing down and making hockey as boring as possible. Not surprisingly, Peter Chiarelli and Mark Bergevin finished dead last on this list, having dealt away both Taylor Hall and PK Subban for the fairy tale equivalent of an old broom and some beans.
More trade deadline news, as Mark Bergevin has said that Andrew Shaw is an untouchable. Andrew Shaw is an untouchable. Let's see, the guy's got a history of concussions. He's on a pretty rich deal. And listen, I know he can play up and down the lineup from the fourth line up to the first line, even play a little bit of center. But let's face it, now's the time to get rid of him. This is like someone walking up to you and you've got cauliflower on your plate. And they're like, hey, can I have that cauliflower? And you're like, no, I'm gonna eat it. It tastes terrible, it's mushy, it's awful, it's got a terrible texture, it's expensive, and I still want to eat it.
So, Habs fan, how would you feel if I were to tell you that after being away for, 3.5 weeks, we would bring on the show someone who's been here in spirit, none other than Omar White of A Winning Habit? How would you feel if I were to tell you that he's on the line with us?
That would make it my third best day in my life ever.
Wow, I'm blushing.
You should be. You should be, Omar White. Welcome back to HBL. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, like you both mentioned, it's been a while since we've got a chance to chat on the line. But you know, it's a very very warm welcome. So it was always nice to be on HBL.
I blame Ari for that, by the way. I blame Ari for
it. Yeah, we're not
Kamal. Kamal wastes no time just throwing Ari right under the bus, eh?
That's what this friendship is all about, excessive bus throwing. And we'll get to the bus throwing when he asks you some questions about the Montreal Canadiens. But I want to start this segment, in the interest of time, I want to start this segment by asking you about your thoughts regarding these Toronto Maple Leafs, who, over the course of about the 3.5 weeks that we were off the air, went about meticulously eliminating Western Conference foes. And not just any foes. I'm talking about teams that are worth their salt, be it the Nashville Predators or the Tampa Bay Lightning. And even the games they lost against powerhouses like Pittsburgh, you could just tell they were in the game from the start. What have you noticed about this team that makes you think that they might actually make some noise either at the trade deadline and well into the playoffs?
Yeah, well, when it comes to the Leafs, I definitely think that a turning point for them could be right back to that February 3rd loss against the Boston Bruins. You know, it was nowhere close to how the Leafs want to play. It was a complete manhandling. You know, the Bergeron and the Pasternak line. I don't think Marchand played that night, but you know they were running wild. So I guess it's definitely, if you want to, you know, use the cliche and say it was a measuring stick game. You know, it's made a lot of Leafs fans worried about that possible series going on. going on in the playoffs. But then, you know, they turn it around. They beat Anaheim. They beat Nashville. They beat Ottawa. They beat Tampa Bay. They beat Columbus. You know, so, and you know, I think one thing you have to look at is, one, obviously, you know, Freddie Anderson's continuing to have a Vezina-worthy season. Like, I don't think that's, you know, being crazy or being over the top. I think he has the numbers, he has the performance, he has the pedigree of this season to say that he's actually worth a Vezina nomination. Then, you know, the decision of Mike Babcock to put Mitch Marner on that line with Nazem Kadri and Patrick Marleau has been perfect. Kadri has, I think Marner and Kadri have both had 5-point nights. Patrick Marleau, he just hit 20 goals, I think, in the last, I think it was the Pittsburgh game, he just hit 20 goals. So, you know, now you have legitimately two offensive threat scoring lines with Matthews, Nylander, Hyman, and now Kadri, Marner, Kadri, Marleau, and Marner. So, you know, I feel it's just like everything is just this coming together offensively. Defensively, you know, like I think two names in particular, I'd say Morgan Riley isn't really having as flashy as a time now as he did in the beginning of the season since coming back from injury. I think the same thing can be said about Nikita Zaitsev. He hasn't really had any flash or rush. Granted, he wasn't there very dynamic anyway, but you know, you're kind of noticing him a little bit on the wrong side of turnovers and stuff like that. But you know, the defense is finding a way to get it done. You know, Curtis McElhinney is still continuing to come in and give the least quality starts. So everything is just kind of coming together for them. And in terms of the chances going into the playoffs, you know, I think right now the Leafs are only 1 point behind Boston. Granted, Boston has 5 games in hand, but you know, I think if they continue this rage, this flow of play that they're going through right now, I think they can take that, go into the playoffs, and actually do some damage. You know, granted, whether it's against Boston or Tampa, I think Boston right now might be the tougher sell, ironically, because you know, everyone thought that, you know, Tampa was the big brooding force, and they still are, obviously. But you know, I think that after seeing Monday's game, granted that's only one game, I personally I'd be more comfortable seeing them go against Tampa Bay, but you know, we'll have to see. But I think right now the Leafs definitely have a lot to be proud of.
Love that answer.
Thank you.
Omar, just going to keep you on your toes a bit and jump over to the Montreal Canadiens side of things.
Yes.
Start off a little bit lighter with some good news. I'm assuming it's good news for Nicolas Deslauriers as he signed a 2-year $950,000 per contract. What are your feelings on that moving forward, as that's a big name off the July 1st free agent market?
Yeah, 100%. I think there was actually talk before. Well, it wasn't really talk. It was kind of whispers, I guess, or birds, if you want to go in the Game of Thrones realm of things, of a possible extension for Deslauriers. And, you know, it's nice to see that they finally worked something out. You know, he is what he is. You know, granted, he has scored more than I think a lot of people expected. You know, he still is your fourth line energy guy, but you know, he plays with his heart on his sleeve, and that's definitely the type of person that you want to have in your organization, because you know, with all the losing and you know, the lack of effort performances, you know, he's definitely on a short list of players who you can never look at and be like, you know what, he had a really bad game. You know, I put him in the same category. Him, Gallagher, Andrew Shaw when he's in the lineup. You know what I mean? Charles Hudon at times as well. You know, so I definitely think keeping him around, be it it's only 2 years, is definitely a good thing. And it's affordable cap hit. You know, $950K isn't going to kill you or anything cap wise. And plus, the Habs have a whole bunch of cap space anyway. So you know, I definitely think it's a good move. It's another quality extension. Referencing the Charlie Lindgren extension a week or two ago. So, you know, that's definitely thumbs up towards the Habs management there.
Mm-hmm. It seems that it doesn't seem to be a lot of criticism when it comes to Marc Bergevin in terms of the, you know, the third, fourth line acquisitions or the re-signing, as in this case with Nicolas Deslauriers, as a lot of people seem okay with it. But on the horizon with trade deadline coming up, not sure if you've heard the most recent sound bites of Max Pacioretty. He is sounding a little frustrated with all the talk about the upcoming trade deadline, and in fact kind of requested from the media, saying, you know what, I kind of don't want to talk about this for the next week. Is Max Pacioretty going to be a Montreal Canadian this time next week?
I think so, yeah, for sure. Not because the Habs are going to turn around and be like, you know what, we're not going to keep him. We're not going to trade him. We're going to keep him. We're going to change things around. I think, one, the price. That's definitely one thing that's definitely going to hurt his trade chances. When you can take into consideration all the other names out there, like a Rick Nash, a Evander Kane, you know, be it his locker room issues, or Mike Hoffman, Derek Brassard, granted he's a center, but, you know, there are a lot of other names that I think a lot of teams are kind of floating around, like Winnipeg. I think St. Louis has inquired into Rick Nash and stuff like that. So based on the competition and the price and the fact that Mark Bergevin doesn't have to kind of reduce what he wants, considering the fact that Pacioretty has another year on his deal. I think if Pacioretty is traded, I think it's either going to be well into the off season or in June. Pierre LeBrun, he appeared on Overdrive, I think it was last Thursday around there, and said that June is the new trade, chain reaction, if you want to call it that. That's where all the deals are happening now. If you think back to last year, Braden Schenn was traded at the draft. Thomas Hamonic was traded at the draft. So a lot of those big moves are starting to happen in June now. So I think if, you know, Mark Bergevin is still committed on trading Mass Pacioretty and he wants what he wants, he's not going to move away from that first, second warm body and prospect price, then I think it's definitely going to happen in the draft or even at next year's trade deadline if, you know, GMs start to lose their mind a little bit again.
Well, Omar, you are truly a frequent and treasured guest here, a true friend of our show, and I'd be remiss if we didn't give you this opportunity now to do a nice shameless plug. Tell us about a win, what you're up to, where everyone can find you, and be able to get all excited about your tweets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, you know, as you've been talking about, the trade deadline is coming up, so you can expect a lot of, you know, trade thoughts and maybe opinions, trade targets and all that stuff in the next upcoming week. Also, you know, it seems finally that the Habs fan base is all in on Team Tank. So I'm thinking of doing like a weekly draft lottery type thing. I did one yesterday and the Habs won. So, you know, obviously, you know, draft lottery simulators you find online aren't guaranteed. You know, they're just something you find on the internet. You know, it is a lottery. It's random. I did it the second time in Detroit one. So it happens. But, you know, you can expect a lot of fun stuff like that. And even though the season's kind of lost, we're still going to try to have a little bit of fun. There's still a lot of players that, you know, that could find their way into the lineup, whether it be a Noah Juulsen, maybe a Daniel Audet. So you can find all that type of stuff there at Winning Habit on Twitter. We're at FS of Winning Habit, or you can follow me personally at OLW93.
And I just wanted to throw one more at Omar just before, because I know we'll be talking to him around trade deadline. But who are we not going to see in a Montreal Canadiens uniform next week?
Ooh. See, that's the kind of one, that's the one that's puzzling me a little bit, because Claude Julien, I believe it was I forgot what game it was, but it was when he put Daniel Carr and Daniel Carr and Jacob DeLaRose back in the lineup after they missed, like, I think 6 games. And he said that the reason they were doing this is because they want to evaluate the players that they have. So for me, it makes me think that Daniel Carr, Byron Fraze, Jacob DeLaRose, and even Logan Shaw, those are players that the Habs are trying to showcase a little bit, just because, you know, Daniel Carr, they have to find a way to get him to the lineup. Like, they absolutely have to, because I think now it might be at 4 or 5 games. He needs those games played so he doesn't become a Group 6 UFA at the end of the season and then lose him for nothing. Because, you know, you can say that, like, oh, yeah, you know, even though he becomes a UFA, you know, he likes it here, he'll stay. But, you know, once you get to free agency and you have people calling your phone saying they'll throw you $1 million here, $1.5 million here, 4 years, 5 years, you know what I mean? Like, the temptation is there. So I think definitely getting him into the lineup, playing him, you know, that's what's going to happen. And that's what has to happen, because, you know, you have Philip Deneau coming back from injury. Andrew Shaw doesn't look too far away. So they have to start making room. So it makes you think that one of those four may be on their way out, or maybe even a Joseph Morrow. You know, he's been in the lineup a lot, actually, and even more than Jakub Jurebek, which is still surprising me. If the only reason, Morrow and maybe even a Jordy Benn are in the lineup just to showcase, so you can make rooms to put your book back in the lineup, that's fine. But, you know, so I think, honestly, I don't think it's going to be a flashy trade deadline for the Montreal Canadiens. I think they'll have their one or two minor deals and then, you know, walk into the sunset. But, you know, I guess we'll never know. Like, to be honest, I wouldn't even surprise Thomas Plekanec isn't traded. So it'll be interesting to see for sure.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you.
That's because he's an oracle, he's a soothsayer, and a clairvoyant, and he will be back on our trade deadline show. Omar White, site expert and winning habit. Thanks for dropping by here on Habits Fan Receipts.
No problem. Anytime.